week's Romans here in 3 or 4 weeks. We will move on and look at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Very enjoyable books. I've never preached them before. Looking forward to it. So much to learn there. And as I mentioned here in these final chapter and a half of Romans, Paul gets very personal, which is very typical of his epistles. He begins to commend or condemn specific people. And that is the case here. He talks about Phoebe and Aquila and Priscilla here in this first four verses. So notice verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So, a servant of the church is our title. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and use the word in our hearts. Dear Lord, I pray that we would grow through this time in your word and that Jesus Christ would be magnified. We love you and commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's will is that every Christian not only become part of a church, that's a command, that we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but that they serve in that church, that they become a servant of the church. And Paul here is using this woman Phoebe as someone that he is commending for being a servant of the church. Maybe you've heard over the years before. If not, that's fine. But many people like to claim that Phoebe was a deaconess of the church at Cenchrea. The reason they say that is because this word servant here in verse 1 is the Greek word diakonos, where we get the transliteration word deacon in the pastoral epistles, which give us the qualifications of a deacon. So remember, the word means servant. It's a lot like the word baptize, another transliteration of baptizo, which I'm simplifying it, which means to immerse. But the King James translators were very kind to us and gave us a new word, the word baptize, which is a transliteration of the Greek word. So they created a new English word. The same with the word deacon. They created a new English word from the Greek word diakonos, so which means you have to use context. Amen? Because why didn't the King James translators put the word deacon there or deaconess? Because of the context. Because they knew that the requirements of deacon from the pastoral epistles were that he had to be the husband of one wife. In other words, it has to be a man. And God's very clear on that. It's a lot like the word elder. In the New Testament, the word elder, you've got to look at the context. Sometimes it's referring to the pastor. Sometimes it's just referring to an old person. And you have to look at the context to know which it's referring to. In this case, it's referring to Phoebe, our sister, Christian obviously, and she was willing to serve this particular church at Cenchrea. She was a serving member of this local church, which is what God wants every Christian to be. Sadly, in most churches, not everybody serves. Many people attend, but not everybody serves. Not everybody uses their gifts and their time and their talents to dive in and help and serve the church. But Phoebe was one who was willing to be a servant. Notice it says of the church. It doesn't say of the Lord. But when you're serving the church, you're serving the Lord, aren't you? Because you're serving God's people. You're serving one another, which we're commanded to do. So let's look at some scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12:25, and just get a hold of this great truth that God wants every Christian to be a servant. That not just a servant, but a servant of the church. That's why it's such a beautiful phrase. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. This is God's will for the local church, is that the members care for one another. And then another one, Galatians 5:13, if you would turn there. Galatians 5:13. The Bible says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." So notice, this is a theme of the New Testament. Let's look at Philippians 4:3 and we'll see it again. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. That God wants every believer to be not only a servant of the Lord, but a servant of the church. Philippians 4:3, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers." My fellow laborers. Sometimes we picture in our mind Paul planting churches, but he never did it alone. Paul traveled with an entourage of people that helped him. Helped him go into a town, helped him start preaching in the synagogues, helped him start sharing the gospel, helped him when it came time to start structuring a church together. Paul didn't do it all alone. There were always people with him. People that were willing to serve, people that he was training. But then women traveled with them as well, often to just help, honestly, cook the meals and do things like that. But he had a whole entourage with him. And this is an example of that here. Notice here in Philippians. So the first thing we see here is that God wants us to be a servant of the church. The second thing we see, go back to our passage, Romans 16, verse 2, and it says, "That ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you." And so Phoebe not only served the church, but notice that she was busy in her local church. I love that. He says, "Assist her in whatsoever business she hath need." Remember, he's writing to the Romans. He says, when Phoebe is with you, this servant of the church at Centria, help her with whatever business she has for the local church that she serves. God wants us to be busy serving and working in our local church. That's God's will for his children. We saw that phrase, fellow servant, and there's fellow laborers and fellow workers. This is what God wants from his children, that we roll up our sleeves and that we work and labor together for the good of God's local church. Here in Romans 16, let's just see some examples down in verse 6. He says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us." See that word labor? Down in verse 12, "Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord." So there it is again. I'm sure I mispronounced his name. Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. So Paul here, again, very typical in his final chapter of an epistle, he begins to call out specific names. So he's called out Phoebe here. He's going to call out Aquila and Priscilla. Here in verse 6, calls out Mary, a different Mary. Why? She labored. And Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labored in the Lord. So God wants us to be a servant of the church because he wants us to be working, busy, serving the Lord. Most of us know that 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always abounding in the what? Work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So God wants us to be a servant, and he wants us to be busy working. But also, verse 2, "She hath been a succorer," and I've never been good at this word, but I looked it up, and I'm pretty sure the proper pronunciation is succorer, which is a fancy word for helper. "A succorer of many and of myself also." So she not only was willing to serve and labor and be busy in the church, but she was also a helper of what? Many. See, if you look at the end of the book, which it's not in all, well, it's not in my super large print version here, but in some of them, at the end of the book, it tells you who actually delivered the book. And those things are in the manuscripts. They're just not considered scripture. It's just like a footnote. But they're usually really tiny writing. You talk about font 8. It's probably like font 4. Does anybody's Bible have it? Beryl, can you read it to us? Is your glasses strong enough? So, look, Paul trusted her so much that he chose her to hand carry the Epistle of Romans. Imagine that. Anybody thankful for Romans? One of the greatest New Testament books, isn't it? We always tell new believers, go read John and Romans, right? Phoebe was the one that Paul chose to carry that book. And back then they didn't have copy machines. That was the only copy of Romans at this point. She hand carried it to Rome on behalf of the Apostle Paul. That's why he said, when she shows up there in Rome, assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, because she's actually bringing my epistle to you. But then here, thirdly, he's commending her for being a helper of many. If you look on a map, it's quite a journey from Centuria to Rome. But Phoebe was willing to make that journey for Paul and for the Lord. So she was willing to be a helper, as Paul says. And all of us are commanded to be a helper. Let's look at an example in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're to be looking for opportunities to help our brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. So notice Titus, who eventually he installed as a pastor after training him, he says, he is my fellow helper. Titus is willing to help others. And Paul here commending Titus for being a helper. And the fact that she was entrusted of Paul to carry this epistle, obviously she was considered a trustworthy helper. But you and I are also commanded to help one another, right? Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So Paul here encouraging every believer to be a servant of the church, to be busy about working for the Lord in the church, and to be a helper of many, to look for opportunities to be a helper. He also, in verse 3, look what he says about Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. My helpers. If you go to 1 Corinthians 16, right at the end of 1 Corinthians, he says there, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So in this case, he's saying, I want you to be submissive and be a blessing to all these that are helping us and laboring with us. And again, this is the end of a different epistle, and he's calling out specific people and thankful for their willingness to be a helper. So God wants us to be a servant. He wants us to work, be busy working for the Lord in our church, and he wants us to be a helper. But then he says in verse 4 of our passage, where we'll finish, Romans 16, talking about Priscilla and Aquila, and he says, who have for my life laid down their own necks. So Aquila and Priscilla were willing to go that extra. They actually risked their own lives, the Apostle Paul. Remember, many times Paul was attacked. People tried to chase him down, to kill him. He was stoned. He was chased out of many towns. And so in one situation, obviously, Aquila and Priscilla literally risked their own lives to rescue Paul from one of these situations where people were probably seeking his life. They were willing to sacrifice for others, which God commends us to do as well. In Philippians 2:25, he refers to Epaphroditus as my fellow soldier. My fellow soldier. In other words, someone willing to fight beside me. And God says, hereby perceive we, 1 John 3:16, the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That sounds like sacrifice to me. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, in John 15:13. So if we're going to be the kind of servant God wants us to be, following the example here of Phoebe and Aquila and Priscilla, then we're going to be willing to serve and also to work and be busy working in the church, looking for opportunities to be a helper to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even when the situation arises, be willing to sacrifice for others. It might not necessarily come to the point here in New Zealand where you're sacrificing your very life, although who knows, that could come. But being willing to make sacrifices on behalf of others, as Aquila and Priscilla did for the Apostle Paul. A servant of the church. What a phrase. I hope that we would all strive to be that person. A servant of the church. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage, Lord, and for Paul recording it for us. The example here of Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila, thank you, Lord, for their willingness to do what it took to help God's people and God's churches. And I pray that we would take from those examples and strive to be that kind of Christian ourselves, to be that servant of the church. Lord, thank you for speaking to us. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.